Mr. Bowden. First, if you would, tell us about this project to archive your work at the John C. Pace Library. Was this your idea, something you wanted to do?
Yes, it was. I wanted to contribute my life's work in that regard as a collection of editorial cartoon from the Pensacola News Journal that reflected about 50 years of social, cultural change and political change through the years. And Dr. Judy Benz was very kind to approve the project, and Bob Dugan at the library and Dean DeBoto have done an excellent job of posting right at 3,000 cartoons already. In the last two or three years collection I still have here at my house, and I'll be giving those to them as soon as I can. It's a continuing project, and but the idea basically was to reflect a period of Pensacola history. It coincides almost with the origins of the University of West Florida in 1967. Goes all the way through the downtown Renaissance, the attempts to change the local government, various governors from Hayden Burns right on through Rick Scott. So it's a project that I feel proud of, and proud that the university would use it as a public website, which anybody can go on and look at it, or scholars can use the images in their works if they choose. It's a real joy to know that it's going to be a continuing project.
Well, now, with a wealth of information to choose from, material, subject matter, how did you decide on a daily basis what you were going to focus on, what you're going to draw?
Well, I pretty much follow the news. One of the other reasons that I thought this project might have merit is I am the only daily newspaper editor in America that draws his own editorial cartoons. And I thought that was something that ought to be said. But no, as far as the topic, you follow the news. If something's going on in the county commissioners, the city hall, the state of Florida, or nationally. And some of the early cartoons in the early 60s are all devoted to Khrushchev and Kennedy and Eisenhower and Charles de Gaulle and all of those things, because I was just beginning to do a national page in the paper called Focus the Globe, and I was trying to illustrate that particular period of time. And then when I became editor of the paper in 1966, I just started doing what is a regular editorial cartoon on the editorial page, mostly to fit the editorial I'd written, and particularly locally. Some of them are national, many of them are national, and many of them are statewide. But that's the way you do it. You follow the news.
On any given day, you might have lots of local news, national news. I was trying to draw the distinction between how you would select, you know, one over the other, national versus local.
My goal as an editor from the beginning in the 60s was to try to be as local as possible. A newspaper of the medium city size of the News Journal really needs to be local. It needs to be more local than national. A lot of people don't like that. They think a newspaper ought to be everything. It ought to be in international, national news, state, and local. But given the market here in this region of Florida, the importance of local news takes priority. And it pretty much stayed that way. But in times of crisis, a shooting of Kennedy, many other, Nixon's impeachment process, all that takes precedent over local when they come by.
Now, for our WUWF exhibit in Gallery 88, we have selected some of your national works, and they range from Landing on the Moon and presidents. You've featured lots of presidents over the years.
Yes, I kind of followed a little bit. Of course, you follow the space race. That's very important, particularly to Florida. And then, of course, when you have a presidential election, all that's a build-up, and so it was fun to, through the years, to do Al Gore and everybody down to the Goldwater. Goldwater came here one time to speak at PJC, as it was then, and I did a cartoon of him coming and scaring the Florida Democrats a little bit, and he wrote me a letter and says, please send me the cartoon. Didn't even say please. He just says, send me the original cartoon. Apparently, he was a collector of cartoons. But, yeah, those were fun to do. And then, of course, you had your local characters that emerged that are fun to portray in an editorial cartoon. It's really it's a kind of a landscape that you can go anywhere with it. You can go into history, geography, literature, just any kind of form, fantasy, and have fun characterizing these people and to make a point. And an editorial cartoon is, you know, is about a 30-second effort on the part of the reader. He goes through the paper every morning, and he gets to the editorial page, and there's an image there that might last 30. If he likes it, okay, he might get a chuckle out of it, might get a thought out of it, or he moves on. And so you really have to find the kind of idea that will carry that. Now, it's not easy to find those. I was editor of the paper. I had to draw those cartoons at home on my kitchen table.
Now, you mentioned some of the local characters, and I'm sure there were national ones that you kind of had fun drawing and characterizing. Can you talk about some of those that gave you particular joy?
One of the first couple of guys who I really had fun caricaturing in the cartoons was Rod Kendig, who was both city and county administrator. And Rod was just deceased recently, a wonderful man, made a great contribution. He had a kind of a chubby face to him, and he called himself the Pillsbury Doughboy. And so as a result of that, you were able to caricature him in a way that was kind of funny. And so, and the other one was Grady Allbritton, was in the county. He called himself King of the County, had a lot of fun with him. And many of them, all the way from Claude Kirk, who was governor of Florida and did some odd, crazy things as the first Republican elected in Florida. I had many cartoons of Kirk because he was such a comedic guy. He could be funny and as well as controversial.
In conjunction with our WUWF exhibit, the library's Great Good Place currently has a display of your cartoons, which are focused on your effort to secure the designation of Gulf Island's National Seashore as federal parklands. Was this the series of work that you were most proud of?
Yes, that's my, as far if I have any achievement that I'm really cherish, it is the fact that I was a part of many people who brought about the creation of a national park in Pensacola Harbor at a time when it was there was a lot of opposition to it. Real estate people, Santa Rosa Island Authority opposed it. A lot of businessmen opposed it as a federal land grab. And yet, after about a 5 or 6 year campaign, we lost it 2 or 3 times. We had to kind of revive it again. And finally, Congressman Bob Sykes, who was a district congressman at the time, he finally won a victory through the Island Authority, and they agreed to turn over the land to the National Park Service. And Nixon signed the bill in January 1971. And it was a victory for the people more than anything. So at that kind of challenge that these harbor landmarks should be saved as a national monument for the people rather than commercial development was the issue. And we had many public hearings and programs on radio stations and all during that long campaign. And I did a lot of cartoons trying to put forth the idea that preservation of a national landmark was more important than those who would gobble it up in a commercial enterprise. Really appreciate Mr. Dugan of the library and Dean DeBoat putting all this together, and for the library doing a nice exhibit. And I really want to thank you for recognizing this, and I hope that the public will gain some knowledge of a period that from the early 60s to the year 2000, the first decade of the 21st century, will show a period of about 50 or 60 years there of change in this part of Florida.
Well, Mr. Bowden, thank you for talking with us and for sharing your work, your chronicling of our local, national, and world history.
Thank you very kindly.